You're listening to the podcast of American Women's Wrestling.
What is up, wrestling friends? This is Derek Levandusky, and you're listening to American Women's Wrestling Radio, and I'm here with my co-host, my brother from the same mother, and my pal, my buddy, even though we weren't always pals and buddies, because I used to beat him up, and I used to be a really, really
Hey, peeps! Oh,
oh, you didn't...
I was just getting tired of you talking.
The psychological element of not wanting to dig into a painful past.
Well, that might have been it too, but you'll never know, because I interrupted you with my catchy greeting.
Yeah, you know what I do know, though, is... I beat you in a tricycle race on our deck, which didn't have any rails and was very high off the ground. If you remember, when you were, I think I was 12 or 11, and you were like, what, 6 or 7? And I set the standard. I got the first time, and it was exceptional. Do you remember that it was an exceptional time? And then...
No, I have no recollection of that.
And then it was your turn, and you wanted to beat me so bad. You had no sense of how fast you were going on that tricycle. You literally launched yourself off the deck onto like rocks.
I forgot to hit the turn. I vaguely remember that, but that might have been one of the first of, unfortunately, many concussions in my life.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe you can't remember it because of what happened when you hit the hard surface.
Yeah, I don't remember much of that. I remember that's where your dog pooped all the time.
Yeah, so there was some of that going on too. You know, your head hit a rock, the rest of your body was in defecation. It was a very bad day for you.
And I lost the race.
You lost the race, yeah. And you did try to navigate the curve, but you did not understand physics and inertia yet, and so you were launched.
I have a feeling if we replay that same event, we may be able to replicate the exact same finish.
Yeah, but I don't want you to get hurt, Ben. You know, we've gotten past all that stuff. You've forgiven me my many sins, and we will not be doing.
I remember a time when you and I were going to the bus stop, and I don't know if you remember this. I don't know why we were arguing, but we were arguing about something, and you punched me in the gut so hard. Like, it literally knocked the wind out of me. I literally cried all the way. I went back home, and you got on the bus and went to school. Do you remember that?
I do remember, but I remember it being an accident.
Do you remember the time? Oh, this is good. Do you remember the time we were at Uncle Mike's house having spaghetti dinner? It was like a family reunion at the ski slope. And you took my fork.
Yes, I did.
And I said, Derek, you took my fork. Give me my fork back. And you said, I didn't take your fork. I said, that's my fork. Give me my fork back. And you did this thing where you grit your teeth. You probably still struggle with this. It's an anger issue. You gotta
no, I don't with. Struggle but you anymore grit your... with that at all.
Okay. Because you grit your teeth and you look at me and you go, I didn't steal your fork. And I thought, everybody's staring at us sitting there. I thought that was the perfect time to punch you in the face. And I did.
I thought that was an accident when you punched me right in the face.
It was an accident. That was probably as hard as I could throw.
Yeah, I think so. And if I recall, I remember it. This is, now everybody's got to understand, this is in front of our extended family. Everybody's there. And I grabbed you by the shirt and I kind of put you on the table.
Oh, you put me up against the wall.
That was it. I think behind, that was after I put behind, you on the table because you pushed me back. And
probably.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember I was off the ground and I just remember looking over at my mom who had probably spaghetti hanging out of her mouth at that point because she was eating. We were eating dinner and she yelled at both of us. I don't know what she yelled, but it was.
I was out of your weight class, you know, to your defense. I was, you know, significantly larger than you. So anyway, I apologize about that again.
I'll think about it.
All right. So listen, there's all this stuff going on with COVID-19. There's a lot of sad things we could talk about, but I think you're probably hearing a lot of sad things out there in the news right now, talking to our listeners. And we thought we would just, you know, have some fun today and do what we do best, talk about, you know, women's wrestling and and talk about things that interest the, you know, women's wrestling community, and have some fun while we're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel one of our purposes in life, at least mine, I can speak for myself, is just to bring joy where we go. And, you know, it's funny, the other morning I woke up, and I wake up pretty early in the morning. It's a quiet time I get to start my day with, and I before my kids get up and my family. And so I was up really early, and I did a very dumb thing. I began reading the news. Yeah. And I'm well aware of what the news was going to say, but I, you know, instead of doing anything in the beginning of the day, I just decided to read the news. And honestly, it was like anxiety and frustration, yeah, and just a sense of like lack of control,
yeah,
really just started overwhelming me. And I just, you know, I'm a believer in Christ. And I felt at that moment pretty convicted that I was looking to the wrong source for my joy, and was just able to put that aside, take a few minutes in prayer, and with God, and just felt like it recentered me, and certainly walked out from that place, you know, full of gratitude for my life. And certainly this is a new season we're all trying to figure out right now. Derek, you and I live in New York, which is, you know, leading the,
yeah,
the
we've
country.
Got over half the cases in the country.
Yeah, I think we're up to 40,000 right now. I was looking at just earlier, and just recognizing there's a lot of uncertainties around us, but yet there's a lot of joy around us too, and family, in our friends. I mean, you and I, I was going to be down there at your house this weekend, around your area, and I just couldn't do it because of this. And but you know what, we walked through those disappointments, you know, and here we are today on the show, just to bring some joy to everybody, maybe some laughter, some good insight, some perhaps bad insight, depending on who's talking. And we'll just have some fun.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a book that you and I both like a lot to read. And it says in Proverbs, laughter does good like a medicine.
And that's right.
You know, I think some people need to laugh right now, or either laugh with us or laugh at us, or turn off the
whatever
show and say, that was just not funny. But
yeah, it's possible.
Now, if they
I
do
did that,
that
last episode, I think, with you.
Yeah, I mean, if they do that, you and I both know they'll be dead wrong. Because we're,
oh, I mean, they're clearly, yeah, they're clearly,
we
don't
are
know what they're talking
super
about.
Funny.
Yeah, funny people know they're funny and talk about how funny they
do. They
are
talk often
in
about
order,
it.
Yes, and people usually agree
but
with
people
that.
People appreciate that. They appreciate when people boast and talk about how funny they are.
Yes. I do that at the table with my family. Never mind.
Well, like for example, watch this. Let me just prove to you that we're funny, okay?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm talking to our audience right now. Ben, you're okay. One of the funniest guys I know. Right? So
right?
Just say something funny right now.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, man. Oh my gosh.
What's wrong? I'm trying to figure out what to say.
Yeah, it's
I didn't even get started.
Well, the start was so bad. It was like the engine blew at the start line.
Derek, I mean, you know, I gotta prime the pump here a little bit and figure this out, man. I mean, you kind of put me on the
yeah,
spot.
I know,
and I, you
know.
All
right. Listen, it's all good. Let's move into some of our content here. This is our 21st show.
21.
21. You know, what we've been doing is talking about what you know, the number of our show, what that makes us think about wrestling. The problem is the numbers are getting too high.
It's true, but I was going to say it actually normally makes me think about football, which is just my problem.
Yeah, every time,
I recognize
by the way.
That.
Can I mention that?
Yeah.
Every time you turn it into a Miami Dolphins update.
Well, I can keep this away from the Dolphins, bro.
Okay. Do tell.
21 greatest cornerback in NFL history, Deion Sanders.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, shout out.
And he was a shout out to Primetime, and he was like a multi-sport athlete.
Baseball,
which I don't know what that has to, I don't know what that has to do with anything.
This is going to make its way to wrestling.
That's what I thought of.
You know what? We got, did Deion Sanders ever wrestle?
Boy, he could tackle, couldn't
hang
he?
On, we got or could this he? Is important because maybe there's a hang on, I'm looking it up right now. Deion Sanders wrestling. Here we go. Google's about to tell us. It appears he did not.
Oh, wait, hold on, though. Yeah, because I just looked up, too, because I'm pretty sure he was a poor tackler, and I did just find a whole, like, set of articles about how what a bad tackler he was. But the guy could cover. The guy could cover. So, yeah.
Yeah, he was a good football player. He picked the right sport.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny is Mark Schlereth recently had a who was a offensive lineman for the Broncos, right? Was that who Mark Schlereth?
I think so.
For the Broncos?
Yeah.
And anyhow, he's a news guy now. But he was a wrestler. I think he was a state champ up in Alaska back in the day. And and he threw somebody on his show. It was pretty funny.
Is that right? No kidding. Well, Matt Millen, the announcer, he's a huge wrestling fan. He shows up at Penn State matches all the time.
Oh, right, yeah. right.
But now, let me make some wrestling connections.
Go ahead.
Since the numbers are getting too high to, like, you know, pick a score or, I don't know, like, different match things related to the number, what I decided to do was to pick, if you take the states in alphabetical order, the 21st state is Massachusetts. So I'd like to talk about some wrestling connections with our 21st state, Massachusetts.
Let's do it.
I've got a couple. First of all, I've got a really, really good friend out there named Jackie Davis. She was in New York for a long time. She was part of Beat the Streets for a long time. And she was actually the first one to invite me to be on the New York national team staff when she was in New York City. Of course, I'm up here in Western New York near Rochester. And we became really good friends. She did with our family. And, you know, I love her like a sister. Well, she moved on from Beat the Streets to Boston, and she's running a wrestling program out there and killing it. I mean, whatever she touches as far as wrestling programs go, it just turns into gold. And she's done such a good job developing athletes. She's not just good. I mean, she's fantastic technically. She actually wrestled for Menlo. She's fantastic technically, but she's also just really a great mentor for these young girls. They really love her and respect her. And she is a gift to this sport, and she's out there in Boston now. So shout out to Jackie Davis and Boston Youth Wrestling and all that you're doing out there for young women in wrestling and raising them up in the sport. So she's one of the best.
That's great.
Second connection with our 21st state, Massachusetts, is just a few weeks ago, even though it was controversial, the NWCA, which is sort of a conglomerate of wrestling clubs and college wrestling programs that are not attached to a governing body or a sanctioned governing body. They had their tournament in Texas, and so there was a number of girls, young women there from different college club programs, and Springfield Tech from Massachusetts was there. And there's an athlete there named Caitlin Wells, who's from Western New York, and she won her second NCAA national title in 3 years. So shout out to
Caitlin. Good for her.
101 pounds. And, you know, if anybody's sitting here going, well, they're not that good. You know, it's just club wrestling. They can't compete with the WCWA or, you know, whatever, the WCWC NCAA women or the NAIA women. Well, Caitlin Wells beat Cecilia Saavedra from Grays Harbor, who was a WCWA All-American this year, took six at WCWA. And Caitlin, I think she pinned her in the finals. So, you know, that tells you that she's no joke. And, you know, there are good wrestlers in some of those programs. And Caitlin Wells is certainly one of them, from Western New York, two-time NWCA, or is it NC? NCWA.
NCWA.
Yeah, so shout out to her and Springfield Tech. Congrats on their success in her success.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You say shout out a lot, and I've heard people say that.
Yeah.
What is that just because we're not really shouting? We're just kind of – is that just like a term? Like where did – what's the etymology of that phrase?
Are you accusing me of being a liar?
You took that 0 to 60. That was awesome.
What do you want me to shout out? All right, Caitlin Wells. He's a two-time national champion.
Thank you. That's what we need. Don't give me a shout out and then no shouting.
Right, okay, in the future, I will make sure that I'm actually physically, biologically, like raising my decibels and shouting.
I mean, yes, and everybody in the next room over, wherever you are right now, is going to wonder what is going on.
Well, and everybody in the country listening, every poor person in the country listening to this podcast. So
yes.
Anyway.
Well.
Okay. Some other.
Good shout out.
Let's move on to some wrestling.
Some other news.
What's that?
Some wrestling.
Yeah,
news.
Wrestling news. What do we got? You give the first one then.
Just some signing news. Colorado Mesa signs 4-time. Washington State finalist and 2020 state champ Holly Bedoin.
Congrats, Colorado Mesa, Travis Mercado. Love what they're doing there in Colorado. They actually also got Zoe Gress from New York, who's a All-American and NHSCA All-American. So they've got a nice recruiting class coming in.
Nice.
Okay, what else we got?
The Illinois wrestler Louisa Schwab signed with Menlo. And she was a Super 32 winner.
Yeah, so, you know what?
Louisa Schwab.
She's good. She beat Skylar Hattendorf, who was a world cadet silver medalist last year. And she beat her in the finals at Super 32. I watched that match. So congrats to Menlo on being a good recruit there.
Absolutely. Across the country she's going.
What's that?
Just going across the country.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that's –
Yeah, that's quite the journey.
Yeah, you got McKendry right there in Illinois. So interesting that she would choose to go to the West Coast. I mean, she's going to a great program. So
great program.
Congrats to Menlo. And then, lastly, I wanted to mention or do a shout out that USA Wrestling, Flow Wrestling, the National Wrestling Hall of Fame put out the first ever girls. National high school team rankings. And you can find that in our rankings link on our website, AmericanWomensWrestling.com. And of course, you can find it on USA Wrestling's website and Flow Wrestling. So congrats to all the teams that made the list. Number one, no surprise to anybody, Wyoming STEM from Pennsylvania. So congrats to Aaron Vandiver. I think that's how you say her name. And coaches there on their excellent program, doing so much, not only nationally, but doing internationally wrestling. And they went to Russia last year and wrestled a Russian team and won that duel. So pretty exciting, pretty cool, and a great program. So congrats to Wyoming STEM. And you know, shout out to USAW and Flo for putting that together. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's great. You can find the article online, right?
Yeah, you can find it on our website or theirs. I do have one question related to that. I'm just curious, what are your thoughts? We had a comment on our Facebook about, you know, should Wyoming STEM even be in this list? Those of you that don't know, they're a private, you know, prep school. They recruit their athletes to come, you know, from other states and wrestle for their school. So a lot of, I mean, they got the Blade sisters, you know, Kennedy and Karina Blades, who are, you know, they both might even be ranked number one right now. If not, I know Kennedy is. I'm not sure if Karina's number one or number two or three, but she's right up there. So I guess the pushback on this ranking, not from us, but just, you know, that you kind of see it out there.
Sure.
Should they be included in a ranking like this when, you know, they have reclassified seniors, you know, who already graduated from other schools and are now in this prep school getting ready for college or the USA wrestling circuit. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, are the girls, I mean, but the girls aren't officially in college.
No,
yet, correct?
They're high school wrestlers.
So they're high school wrestlers. Do they wrestle in high school duels?
Well, Pennsylvania is not sanctioned yet. So they do wrestle in duels, but it tends to be at duels tournaments. Like they came to the Finger Lakes wrestling club duels tournament last fall at Cornell University. They won that.
And they probably dominated.
They dominated. Yeah, yep. They dominated. I mean, one team that gives them a hard time and actually beat them like 2 or 3 years ago when Wyoming STEM was putting their team together was Venom Wrestling Club, coached by Heath Macaluso, whose daughters are killers. Both Sophia and Mia have been national champions. So, I mean, that's not a bad starting point for your lineup, but they've been the only team that's given them a hard time. I don't think they've really come too close in the last couple of years, even though it's been competitive. But yeah, so I think that's the kind of event that they do.
Yeah, I mean, from my opinion, I mean, where else are you going to put this team? I mean, they deserve to be ranked somewhere. Yeah. I mean, they, in my opinion, they've, you know, they're the best out there, and I don't have a problem them being on there. I don't think the conditions are you must not recruit in order to make this list, or you must not be a private prep school. You know, I think there might be, I think a little bit of the tension might exist if these girls already wrestled for another school at one point, and now they're, they have graduated. I could see that. Yeah, sure. I mean, that provides some tension, but they're not in college yet. It is a prep school, high school. Yeah, I have no problem them being on the list. They're the best. And, I don't think the ranking's wrong.
Yeah.
This is a dream team of wrestlers.
Yeah.
I would love to see, wouldn't it be great to see some more wrestling? I'm sure they'd love to go head to head and just with the exposure with some of these top teams. That'd be amazing.
It would.
But
yeah.
I mean, that's just a pipe dream, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's fun, you know, it's part of the fun.
I mean, everybody hates the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, why do we hate the Patriots? Or maybe the Yankees is a better picture of that. You know, at least.
Well, if I could. Yeah, I do hate the Yankees. You once did hate the Yankees, but then you now love the Yankees.
Yeah, I do. I do, because I woke up and I realized, well, you know what actually happened, Ben? Was 9/11.
Well, that's
interesting. I fell in love with my state, and I was working in New York City, and George Steinbrenner, who was still alive at the time, sent a food truck to our feeding center, joking aside. And he helped supply.
I'm with you.
He helped supply food in a time of crisis. And at the time, I was just weary of the year after year, you know, pathetic performance by the Orioles. And I actually almost like became not a baseball fan for a while. And it was the Yankees that brought me back. So yeah, I do like the Yankees.
All right. Okay. All right. You know what? I can't say anything like that, because right now I'm feeling very, you know, New York patriotic. So I'm going to stop talking in case in case I'm too, yeah.
See,
yeah, I understand.
You're coming to, well, I'd say the dark side, but you're coming from the dark side to the right side.
Well,
you're on the wrong side,
not necessarily.
Ben. You're
okay,
on the wrong side.
But here's at the end of the day,
you're on the wrong side,
Wyoming,
Ben.
Seminary should be Wyoming Seminary should be.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. I hope everybody made the connection that I was trying to make there. Like, the Yankees, you know, they recruit great players, and
yes,
some people hate
them
for that. And so I think Wyoming Sem has that stigma about them, you know, like they're the Patriots, they're the Yankees, they're the Cowboys of, you know, women's high school wrestling. So bottom line is, like you said, they're a high school team, and so they deserve to be in a high school ranking. That's my take too. Hate them or love them. So, all right. Well, there's some news. How about one of our fun segments, Ben? Would you rather?
Let's go for it. I'll do my best.
All right. If you had to combine wrestling with another sport, would you rather it be skiing or swimming?
Pole vault.
That would be a short match.
It's like jousting, right? I don't know how would that. That'd be awesome if you both pole vaulted at the same time.
Yeah.
And then you had to like wrestle on the way to the ground. Yeah, that'd be crazy.
It'd be like a 2.5 second match.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you want me to go to your question, that's an easy answer. It'd be skiing. I don't think there'd be, you know, that would be awesome. You ever watch the snowboarding like in the X Games and stuff like that? Maybe it's in the Olympics now, the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Where they're just all jockeying for position. Boy, that's fun to watch. I love that.
Yeah,
that's
the best race. It almost kind of is like wrestling and skiing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So there you go. It's already been done.
Yeah, it's already been done. Ben and I have decreed that the sport does exist, and we have renamed snowboarding to ski wrestling.
What is that called, though?
It's called ski wrestling, Ben.
Yeah, but we don't even have the right. There's a lot of snowboarding sports. I'm trying to think of the specific race one they do where they're all jockeying for position.
Yeah. I don't know.
Snowcross, snowboarding, ski wrestling.
Yeah, it doesn't
That's
matter.
What it, is
it doesn't matter what it was. That's my point. It's ski wrestling.
And we've literally removed the word snowboard, which is what they're on, from the discussion and made it ski, which is what they are.
Yeah. And you know what? If they use a different name, if they use a different name, I'm suing.
Yeah, I'm not interested. Not gonna watch.
You're not gonna. Yeah, exactly. Right. You're with me on this.
Yep. They're not gonna. The advertisers will not be getting my business. I'll tell you that right now.
They are not. I mean, you and I have made it official by recording it on a podcast about women's wrestling.
Right.
So it's legally binding at this point.
Really?
Yes, because you and I just decided that.
Well, I'm not sure I'm that comfortable with my. All right, let's move.
Yeah, on. I mean, I think the legal term is tangible medium of expression. So we've copyrighted.
You just made that up. You just made that up.
I didn't.
Say that word again. Say those words.
Tangible medium of expression.
Tangible medium of expression. Bro, that is like, wow, I'm impressed with your knowledge. Thanks, bro.
With that, before you change your mind, let's move on. Okay. Would you rather be a four-time NCAA national champion at 191 pounds if you're a woman, right? Or a senior-level world bronze medalist once at 72 kilos. The reason I say that is because, once you get above 76 kilos, they currently don't have a weight class for women. So the 191-pounders in college oftentimes get kind of lost in the transition between college wrestling and USA or UWW wrestling because there's no weight class for them currently. So I guess if you had to make that choice, like, would you be a four-time NCAA national champion at 191 or a senior level bronze world medalist one time at a lower weight?
Wow. That is like a really tough question. I like the idea of walking off the mat at a world level, a winner.
Yeah.
Right. So that's like, that match, that bronze medal match means you came back from a lot. Like there's so much character building in that moment right there. Walking off a winner, bronze medalist, world level, top three in the world. Yeah. That's what I'd rather that. I think that's like a win.
Yeah. And I think
go
ahead.
Yeah. No, I just, boy, if it's an Olympic bronze medal, yeah, man, I'd take that. I think that would hang nice in my room. Now, I never competed in college athletics though. I just am a big fan of it. That's not to knock the trophy of the college level. I just think winning for your country at the, winning and walking off the mat is really fun.
Yeah, and I don't know, like I wonder as a career accolade, like what gets you more. I don't want to say credibility because I mean, if you're a four-time NCAA champion, that's credibility, but,
right.
But like,
yeah, it
does help to have an accolade for your, for what you can charge. If you do clinics or camps or brought in to be a guest speaker. I mean, if you could say, I'm a world bronze medalist or I'm an Olympic bronze medalist, that's worth something. I'm a four-time NCAA national champion. I think going back to the COVID virus, that's one of the heartbreaking things about the NAIA women losing their opportunity and the NCAA men is some of them are going to lose that opportunity to have that accolade that gives them, it really is income bearing credibility, So
I was, just looking through the list of the women wrestling, planning to wrestle and just my heart just, breaks for them,
Even though
it's tough,
I don't
tough
know
time.
If you got to hear the interview I did with Life University coach Ashley Sword last week, but one of the things she said that I think could be redemptive is I think the NAIA might actually name all Americans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, they do that in other sports, right? They do that in football. Like you don't win something to become an all American. You're just good,
Right.
It stands to reason they could do that in wrestling, right? Like you look at the seasons that these women had and you go, okay, Rachel Waters from Oklahoma City, she was a WCWA national champion. She had a win over Caitlin Albrecht. I mean, she's an All-American, right? So it's an easy thing to name. So I don't know. It seems like that could be a redemptive solution and maybe a halfway solution between nothing or granting eligibility for another year. If you just want to do a middle thing, maybe you just name all Americans.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
So
Go
All ahead. Right. Well, I'm going to change the segment. I'm going to try a new one on you today. Okay. This segment is called Glory Days. Okay. So.
Okay.
It's basically like putting you back in high school, you know, in your younger years, and just asking you questions about, you know, how you think now compared to then. Okay. So.
Okay.
What's one thing about wrestling you wish you knew then that you know now?
One thing about wrestling that I wish I knew then that I know now. Wow. I feel like it's a numerous amount of things that I've learned since then.
Yeah.
I was teaching my kids some stuff just about the shot itself. Yeah. I don't know. There's just so many like little things. I feel like I never learned. I learned moves,
yeah.
but I didn't know how to put moves together. I'd take a shot. Maybe even the idea of train wrestling, of go here to there to this to that. Like I'd take a shot and it was pretty slow. I wouldn't hit anything. So now I'm on my all fours for a
extended.
Moment and extended. And I don't know what to do from there. And you know, the stuff like that. You know, I'll tell you this, Derek. I know it sounds silly, but even block the shoulder, even blocking the shoulder, the guy that gets shot on, right? Just blocking
just
that shoulder, just
defense.
Little hand placements, just hands, heads, hands defense. That stuff I didn't know in high school. I mean, I was just trying to brawl out there and try to do one move at a time. Okay, that move didn't work. Now let me try this move. Well, that move didn't, but it was like all back to the base or back to the set, and I don't know.
it's amazing how elementary something. A lot of varsity programs were back then.
Yeah.
You know, I remember hearing, I remember hearing Kerry Collott talk about how his dad would go through picture books, you know, like, but now you go on YouTube and it's like, oh, I want to know how to hit a slide by Merkel, you know, they'll just type it into YouTube and it probably is going to have three options pop up from like elite wrestlers.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of stuff that I've seen online that I'm like, if I had only known that then.
I would have gone right to state.
The truth is, the truth is I probably still would have been pinned. Maybe not. I hope not, but I would think I'd be better. I mean, I fought hard. I had a lot of heart.
Yeah.
So I had like a lot of hustle and heart out there. I was, you know, scrappy and whatever I was. But but that only gets you so far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to. There's like even stances. There was like a stance. Like we all learned one stance. I learned a stance.
Yes.
And you know,
I think that would be my thing.
I wish
stance in motion.
Like your, stance there. Well, yeah, there you go.
Just better. Just overall repetitious every day, getting your minutes in, stance in motion. It was just, you know, you learned a stance, but we didn't really practice stance in motion. You know, it's amazing how much things have changed.
No. Yeah, no, I watched the John Smith videos on some of that and footwork and stuff. And it's like mind boggling.
It's masterful.
Like, it's so simple.
Masterful.
And it is, it's simple, but it's masterful.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I mean. It's like.
Yeah. And by the way, glad you mentioned that. If you're a coach listening to this and you want to watch some, like, you know, just master technician, you know, ninja level stance in motion and then turning it into shots. And using stance and motion to set up shots, especially low levels, go onto YouTube and there's a series on there that somebody posted from John Smith at one of those camps out there in Oklahoma. And it really is fantastic. And it's really influenced my club a lot in the way we train our youth. And and it's made a difference, big difference. I think, you know, the stance and motion of our club and setting up shots and making your opponent react, you know, from your stance and motion has been such a big thing for us. And it's made a big difference. But okay, hey, one more Glory Days. If you could do it all over again, would you not mix milk and Pepsi for the first 12 years of your life?
Absolutely, I would. I would not have. I would not do that
ben,
again.
Ben, what were you thinking?
Because around the time, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking about that. But then I discovered Dr. Pepper when I was like 16, 17,
and no milk needed, right?
No milk needed, man. And then, but I don't drink soda anymore, so I'm good with that.
Attaboy. All right.
I will say, hey, one more thing about glory days that I wish, if I could go back and talk to myself when I was a teenager, because it has more to do just with mindset and mentality.
Yeah.
I could have worked. I wish I worked harder. You know, I wish I put in the extra half an hour of work. I wish I put in the extra half an hour in the weight room, or an hour or whatever it was. You know, I look back and think, man, there were moments I just cheesed out because my buddies were cheesing out and I cheesed out with them. And, and some other, my buddies didn't, they worked hard, but I look back and if I had a regret or a wish, it was just that, I wish I worked harder. And I think of that now in my life. I think of myself as a 43-year-old man, right? If I was, 30 years from now, what would I say to myself now? And I think I'd probably say the similar thing. Ben, work hard, keep up working and stay at it.
Yeah.
Don't give up. I know it sounds cliche-ish, but it's true. It's like, man. But anyhow, just thoughts.
Well, good. All right, well, let's move on to our next thing. Well, I want to talk about women's college wrestling season and recap that a little bit. To do that, Ben, I want to use an article that I posted on our website, AmericanWomen'sWrestling.com. What we learned in the 2019-2020 women's college wrestling season. Of course, we had the abrupt end with the NAIA, but I mean, honestly, it was a pretty full season even without that. Even a lot of the NAIA women got to wrestle at the WCWA Nationals. A lot of them did.
Right.
I mean, the most painful part of the season for me is Menlo.
Yep.
I
totally agree. Wholeheartedly agree. Yeah.
I mean, they weren't at the WCWAs, and so this was it for them. So, pretty heartbreaking for them. But again, I mean, they were at the NWCA National Duels in the NAIA division. They won that. So there's a lot to be proud of for them too. So I kind of want to go through this. I'll use the what I did was I had 12 takeaways from the season, and we'll just kind of go through each one briefly, time permitting, and talk about, the different takeaways from the 2019-2020 women's college wrestling season.
Okay.
Number one, women's college wrestling is exploding.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I can't even keep up with it. I'm a wrestling journalist. It's like, it just feels like the new programs and the coaching hires and, the recruits and the high school, state level sanctioning or soon to be sanctioned that's happening. And then you got like state championships that are not sanctioned, but they're like supported by the coaching governing body in the state, which is like a step before they're sanctioned. It's just, there's so much progress and so many things happening. It's really pretty exciting.
Yes, it is.
Even here in New York, we had Elmira, down near Binghamton, announced that they're going to start a program. They just hired a coach.
I saw that. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have his name in front of me, but they just hired a coach like yesterday.
I don't have it in front of me either. I was trying to look for it quick, but I can't see it.
But, you got Carthage College, Delaware Valley. They hired Lee James, who was a world bronze or silver medalist. Great, great woman, great coach. Iowa Wesleyan, Lock Haven, which is, that's pretty cool. That, they're a D1.
Hey, NCAA I got program. The guy's name.
Who's that?
Elmira's coach, Cody Griswold.
Cody Griswold. There you go. Yep. Congrats to him and Elmira. Exciting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trine University, they hired Sarah Hildebrand's sister. So, that's just mentioning a few. So just so much growth, so much happening. And, of course, the big headline was the vote on NCAA gaining emerging status, which it passed. And now it's just math. It's just keeping an eye on the growing numbers, because once the NCAA gets 40 programs, they will have what is needed to be sanctioned by the NCAA, and they'll have their own official NCAA national championship. And then once each division gets 40, they'll be able to separate divisions. So let's say they only get 40 right across all three divisions. Like Lock Haven is a D1 program, pretty sure. And then you've got, McKendree and King, and almost all of them are D2 programs, but you got some D3 programs. But once you get 40 NCAA programs, D1 through D3, you're going to have enough to do one NCAA championship. But once each one gets 40, they're going to be able to do their own, just like the men.
Right. Yes. Well, they will take the 40 in the D1, 2, and 3 for now, for sure.
Oh, no question. No question.
Yeah. So.
And then girls high school wrestling, you know, Arizona, Colorado, Georgia, Massachusetts, Maine, New Jersey, Oregon, all held their first ever state-sanctioned state championship for the girls. So it's pretty cool.
Yep.
Number two takeaway from the 2019-2020 season. Menlo is the best team we never got to see prove it.
Yeah. That's a bummer. You know, I really was, I think what was hard about it too was it wasn't like they were heading into the NAIA ranked first. You know, that's what made it hard. I mean, they were headed in to prove it, right? To show they had it.
Yeah, you know, and yet, like I said, they did win the NWCA National Duels title this year. You know, they won that. They did win the WCWA Nationals in 2019, February of 2019. So everybody was there then, by the way. That was not the lesser version of the WCWA like it was this year. I mean, you know, King was there, McKendry was there, Simon Fraser was there, everybody was there, and Menlo won it. So, you know, this squad, you know, I do think that we might be saying goodbye to one of the best teams in women's college wrestling history. That's my opinion. You know, as Precious Bell and Solon Piercy are graduating, but they're not walking out empty handed. I know they didn't get to do the NAIA, but they're not walking out empty handed.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're bringing next year, they're bringing back Aleda Martinez, Tiana Jackson, Grace Figueroa, and, you know, and a bunch of young talent. So
young up and comers.
Yep. Okay. Number three, Campbellsville is getting it done. Campbellsville won their second WCWA title in 3 years.
Yep.
How many All-Americans did they have? Looks like they had 13.
13 All-Americans, 3 national champions in the WCWA.
Yep. So they had Abby
Nettie. Yep.
And 170-pound Mariah Harris and 191 Alexandra Castillo. And they had the WCWA finals were loaded with Campbellsville wrestlers.
You're right.
I believe they had 8 total. And then after that, they had their, I think it was the first ever Mid-South Conference tournament. They won that. Coach Lee Miracle was named the Mid-South Conference Coach of the Year. Well-deserving for him.
Congratulations. Absolutely.
And, you know, I got to say, though, you know, as impressive as their college accolades, you know, the college program's accolades are, you know, look at what some of these women are doing at the next level. You know, Kayla Miracle was a 4-time WCWA national champion, and she's currently number one at 62 kilos for Team USA.
Right.
So, you know, look, they're producing wrestlers that are competing at the next level, and not just competing. I mean, Kayla's number one. And then you've got Abby Nettie, you know, who won senior nationals this year.
Right.
So, you know, Campbellsville.
Yeah, they're getting it done.
They're getting it done. Okay, next takeaway. McKendry has arrived. This was Sam Schmidt's 7th year. It's like a blossoming flower. I mean, last year they came into the season, Ben. They had not ever won a national title. They did not ever have an individual national champion. They won the national duels last year. They got their first 2 national champions in Alex Glaude and Destiny Garrick. And then this year they come in, they win the WC Nationals. They win the NWCA National Duels Tournament. They had 13 All-Americans and freaking 5 national champions.
That's pretty awesome.
Run the list of their national champions this year. You got that in front of you?
Yeah, I do. 101-pound freshman Pauline Granados, 130-pound senior Alexia Ward, 136-pound freshman Emma Bruntel, 155-pound senior Alexandra Glaudy, and 191-pound sophomore Sydney Kimber.
Yeah.
5 champions,
13 All-Americans. So, and then of course they had freshman finalist Alara Boyd, You know, Felicity Taylor was a finalist at 116. So, you know, shout out to them. Great program. And they're still young, by the way. I mean, they're who's a senior there? You got who's graduating out? Alex Glaude is graduating out. Is she it?
Alexia Ward.
Flex Ward. Yeah, she's graduating out too. Yeah. So, you know, they've got a lot of young blood, including somebody you and I are familiar with whose name rhymes with Toy Snevin Muskie. So
Roy, good old Roy. That's what I'm going to call her from now on.
Roy. Yeah. Are you still disappointed that she didn't, not that
if we talk about this,
because you were rooting for her, but that she didn't win it because you picked her and looked, you know, you lost to me in the predictions.
She made me look like an idiot.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate how Roy wrestled.
Are you going to call her Roy until she wins a national title?
Yeah, until she wins a national title, she is Roy to me.
Okay, well.
And that's not a slam on anything. I just don't – well, yes, it is. Yeah, Roy. Do I know anybody named Roy? Now I feel bad about – if you're listening, your name's Roy, I apologize. I'm not being too nice to the name,
so
I guess.
So all Roys out there, we – well, you know what? I give a disclaimer – as the director of American Women's Wrestling, that the views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of American Women's Wrestling. We are not prejudiced against people named Roy. We do not discriminate against people named Roy.
No, but tell Roy to get it done next year.
You know, I just apologize, and you go on insulting all Roys.
I can't help it.
Do we need to?
Let's move on to number. Let's move on to number five.
All right. Takeaway number five from the season. The WCWA ain't what it used to be, but it could become something different. I don't know. Is it a tired conversation, Ben, about like
that? I think we've gone over this. It's on its way. Well, it's on its way out, in my opinion.
Yeah, perhaps.
But they're going to keep it rolling. We talked about that but you have some recent stuff for the from Life University coach or Ashley. She said, something
"Yeah, you know, honestly, like I when I interviewed her, I said, make your case. Like, why should the WCWA stick around?" And she actually had some really good thoughts on it. One of the things she said was, "You know, maybe they could change it into being like almost like an all-star tournament after the NAIA and NCAA, where you take the All-Americans from both governing bodies and put them into a bracket to get a multi-divisional champion."
Oh, that's well. That's an interesting, but that would be different. That's not what it was this year. So
no,
yeah,
no. I mean, I don't think it's like throw every college program into the bracket and wrestle. I don't think that's ever going to happen again. I think they have to evolve, or I think you're right. I think it's going to go away.
Yeah.
So, all right, number six. All right. Startup programs can rise quickly with good recruits. Yeah, I mean, Colorado Mesa, second year program, takes fourth in the WCWC Nationals. Augsburg University, first year program, my goodness, with Gabby Skidmore and Emily Shilson, you know, and some of the they had others too that really really solid first year program. They get a few more recruits and they're going to be right in the mix.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing just how, you know, we talked about this and the explosion of women's wrestling on number one, the high school programs that are up and coming and the recruits that are, you know, that are out there. It's just going to grow from here, man. It's just going to grow.
Yeah. I think it might be one of my takeaways later on, but you know, freshmen are ready to wrestle when they come to the college level.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen it with the men, too. I mean, Yanni Diakomihalis coming in and winning. I know he's, like, maybe he's an exceptional guy. But I think across the board,
Dayton Fix. I mean, Dayton Fix last year, if we talk about. Anyway, yeah, you're right. It's this case this year with Shilson and Bruntel, right? Is Bruntel a freshman?
Yes, she is officially a freshman. I'm going to skip down to number nine because we're talking about it. Elena
McCoy,
you know, from North Central. Gabby Hamilton from Life. You know, I was talking to Ashley Sword, and she said She's scared to wrestle Gabby Hamilton.
Well,
you know, it's you got Dalia Garibay, who beat Emma Bruntel. Bruntel's one loss this year, you know, from Colorado Mesa. Alera Boyd from McKendree taking second, you know, at WCWC. Tavi Heidelberg from King. I mean, that's just a few. Peyton Preston from Life. I mean, which, of course, do we have to say it? Peyton Preston.
Sim.
She's a sim. Can you count her? She's not real.
I would. She's not. You can't count Sims on this thing.
No, so, not in this. Yeah, I mean, that'd be like
not in this conversation.
You know, if you're in the Matrix, that would be like counting Agent Smith as like a real person.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to add 13, like the 13 takeaways from the season, I would add, you know, women's wrestling is revealing, you know, a lot of Sims.
Yeah, it's scandalous.
We could talk
really
about them. Yeah, and are Gadina Gonzalez sisters, are they freshmen?
Sims.
Got it. Okay.
You know what? I was confused about that, and I think that maybe some of the reports that came out were confused about that because – when I talked to her in the interview at WCWC, Anna said she only has 1 year of eligibility after this.
Oh, okay. So she was competing somewhere.
Yeah, but I don't think she was competing in the U.S. I don't know how that. I don't know what I'm. You know what we're missing there, but I think they're. I saw them listed as freshmen. Both of them, Joy. Are they both? They're both juniors. Yeah. Okay. So there's
hey,
Joy.
Hey, tell Roy to mind her own business.
Hey, Joy, who your Uncle Ben now calls Roy, he says mind your own business. Yeah, he's still angry at you for making him look like a fool in his predictions that you didn't win a national title. It's not – he's not, like, upset for your sake. He's upset for his sake. She said, tell him to step on the mat with me and he'll really look like a fool.
Hey, I heard a rumor that you stepped on the mat with her the other day. How did that go?
Well, I did step on the mat with her and I have a hematoma.
that's
like
funny.
A bad bump.
Yeah. That's funny.
Anyway.
All right, let's move through this list. Yeah, let's keep rolling.
So number 7, you just never know from where the monsters are going to give you a jump scare. That's one of my takeaways. And of course, I'm talking about two women that you already mentioned, Carla and Anna. Like, where the heck did they come from? Like, holy cow, they upset the apple cart so bad. When you're talking about 10 weight classes and you've got, you know, two sisters who come in who are like, you know, superstars, you know, on the junior level and even on the senior level in Canada, they came in and just took over the number one spots in a weekend.
Yeah, they dominated, and good for them. Yeah, what a great. It was amazing how we would look at it week after week and think, where are these guys? Where are they going to fit here? And they dominated.
Apparently, they fit at number one.
Apparently.
Well. And I remember, Ben, when we were doing a preview, you and I, for the National Duels.
Yeah.
We're like, I remember looking at their names like, oh, yeah, well, that's a W for, you know, whatever. That's a W for King in that weight class. That's a W for McKendree in that weight class. I just didn't have a sense of who they were. And once they won handily over everyone, including the current number ones in the rankings – right. You know, I did a deep dive on them and, you know, realized that there's a backstory there. They come from Mexico, but they also have some accolades at the junior and senior level in Canada. And man, they were fun to watch this year. And like I said, when there's 10 weight classes and they took over two of them, you know, them stepping on the mats in a weekend, taking over 20% of the weight classes. And really it was a seismic shift in, like, you know, even how to predict who's going to win, like, team races. And, you know, I mean, they were a huge factor.
Huge, yep.
But, yeah, so congrats to them. I almost feel like, Ben, we should, like, sing the Canadian National Anthem in honor of the Godinez Gonzalez sisters.
Oh, Canada. Oh, wait, I'm singing the end of it.
Yeah, I don't even know if I could pull the whole thing off. Let's just sing the end of it, Ben, because it might be, like, sacrilegious to butcher it.
Yeah, I actually want to be respectful. That's a good point, Derek.
So, Oh Canada, we stand
on guard for thee. Can we move on to number 8?
Yeah, I think we just disrespected the Canadians.
I really feel terrible.
We
right
said
now,
we weren't going to do it, and then we did it. Just like you insulted all Roys, we've insulted the Canadians. Ben, we're hemorrhaging our fan base, Ben. We had three fans. We had three fans from Canada, Ben.
And two of them were named Roy, and that was all we had.
The two of them were named Roy, and one of them was one of the Godinez Gonzalez sisters. We suck.
Well, this is, yeah. Right. I got nothing to say.
Okay. Another takeaway. The Missouri Valley Open was this year's multi-divisional nationals. Amen?
Yep. It was a great tournament. I wish I'd go back and enjoy that tournament again. It was such a great tournament.
Knowing what we know now. You know,
Me too.
Elena McCoy, that was kind of her coming out. I mean, she beat Rodier there, and it was like, okay, wow, who is this? But if you compare, like, I think there were 20, I think I got it right. I think there were 20 teams at the WCWA, 20. And at the Missouri Valley Open, there was 46. Including, I think, top five teams from both NAIA and NCAA. So,
and Derek, who won that tournament?
You know what? I don't know if they had a team race.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that would be – we should go back and do numbers on that, because that might actually be really interesting to find out.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you know what? We're going to do that. We're going to go back and figure out who won that tournament. It might take us 18 months.
Yeah, we got to look through it. Yeah, we can figure it out. That won't take us too long.
Yeah, all right. Okay, number 10. NWCA Coach of the Year Sam Schmitz likes to coach dance.
I don't know what that means.
Well, did you see any of the videos that were posted by Track Wrestling of him, like, moving with his team?
Yes. Okay. I thought there was, like, some dance that coaches do. I didn't know what we were talking about for a moment, but now I know what you're talking about.
It was a coach-athlete spirit dance where they're united in spirit, moving – in a synchronized way where the coach is actually spiritually in the body of the person on the mat helping them score points.
No, he's actually not.
Well, no, he's not.
But he's dancing with him. I did see that video. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess I wanted to mention that because he's a great example of the great people that are in women's wrestling and moving the ball down the field. You know, these coaches are all in. They're passionate. They're excited. You know, they love the women that they're serving. And you know, if anybody was wondering if Coach Sam was serious about his team, just watch those videos. You know.
And if you just go to this article itself, the picture that you've included on the article is a coach of Coach Schmitz, probably in a dance move at that moment with Flex Ward.
That is true. He is in the background. He is athlete, coach, spirit dancing.
You know who else is in the background, Derek? I just noticed.
Who?
Your wife and your daughter, Roy.
There she is. Did that bring up some anger in you?
I just remember that day in that tournament, and I was not happy.
Well, you know what? The Canadians are with me now against you.
Yes.
And I know you're closer to the Canadian border than I am. And all I got to say is if you cross the Canadian border, you better watch your friggin' six.
I'm a big curling fan. So I'm actually I got some friends.
I guess that means something. All right. Number 11, women's wrestling is getting more coverage. I wonder why.
A brand new podcast started this year.
Yeah. American women's.
Wrestling Bleacher Brothers.
With the Bleacher Brothers.
The best wrestling podcast you've heard in the last few minutes.
The best wrestling podcast north of the Adirondacks.
Canada.
Oh. North of Canada. and they're so funny.
They are so hilarious.
Okay, stop. Just stop.
Okay. All right.
So, honestly, like, it was interesting, you know, being the guy who started this media outlet this year, watching transition wrestling, you know, start and get moving with college wrestling with Gabrielle Lord-Klein and Reaper Wrestling. They were already in the game. But track wrestling doing more coverage, even Flo doing a little more coverage. It's been really exciting for the women, and I think they notice it, and I think they're thankful. And, you know, I've had a lot of feedback from wrestlers from the high school to the senior level reaching out to me in person or, you know, in a private text or message and just saying how much they appreciate what we're doing. And we're not the only ones doing it. You know, just there's a lot more coverage now. And I remember, I think it was Catherine Shy I saw in an interview with track wrestling saying it's just different now. It's so different than it was the last Olympic cycle because there's more coverage. So that's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
And it's only going to get better from here.
Oh man. It's absolutely.
So
I feel like Mr. Agreeable guy right now. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. Thanks for being my yes man, Ben. I appreciate
that. You're welcome, Derek.
Okay. Finally, Wrestle Like a Girl is our friend. And you know what? Shout out to Wrestle Like a Girl. Sally Roberts. I got to connect with her at the WCWC Nationals, and she was doing the call on the track wrestling broadcast. And she and I kind of talked through some of the finalists, and you know, I kind of gave her some information that I knew that might help, you know, color the broadcast a little bit. Man, she's awesome. She's great, and not just as a person and personality, but what they're doing. You know, with Julia Salata's on board with them now. And, I met another one of their staff members. Her name slips my mind at the moment, but Ben, they're doing so much for wrestling, you know, getting women's wrestling sanctioned, helping with the emerging sports status of the NCAA and the NAIA and all that. So, you know, really appreciate Wrestle Like a Girl and all that they're doing for the sport.
Yeah. Anybody that can help grow the sport is awesome, but they're at the tip of the spear. You know, they really are.
They are. I mean, I can't even keep track of all that they're doing. I can't believe how much they're getting done. I mean, it's you know, bravo, you know, three cheers for Wrestle Like a Girl. I guess, Ben, to close this podcast, I just want to mention this is the plus one in the article. Take nothing for granted. You know, as great as this season was, there was tragedy this season too, you know, in the wrestling community. You know, I was Brandon Sorensen being diagnosed with cancer. It just makes you take a step back and realize this is not forever. And right. Don't take for granted what you have. You know, Grandview wrestler Jazz Alexander getting in the horrific car crash, possibly ending her career. Richard Perry's freak accident in the fall of 2018. You remember that one?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And then, of course, recently the COVID-19 crisis. You know, I hope we can all take a step back and appreciate what we have and the opportunity we have to do this. It's a great sport and it's a great community. And I think sometimes you don't know what you got until it's taken away. And I think all these tragic stories that have come out remind us, you know, to appreciate one another, to appreciate the sport and the moment that we have, and be grateful people.
Well said.
All right. Well, any final words, Ben?
No, man. It sounds good.
You don't want to appreciate what you just said. People named Roy or the Canadians anymore?
You know, I'm trying to let this ride out on a nice note. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
okay.
All right, let's let it go on a nice note. So, it's been a great year in women's college wrestling. We will be back. I'm talking about women's wrestling. It will be back. We'll be back to normal again, even though it's probably going to be a new normal. And looking forward to those days when, you know, the women are back on the mat competing again. I know all the women are having to get creative with their training, but we will be back. And if you're not, take heart, wrestling community. We're not going to be in this, you know, in this rut forever. And we love y'all. We're praying for y'all. And I hope you had a fun time listening to our podcast today. Until next time, we are out.
Thanks for listening to AWW Radio.